It really is an honor and privilege to have the opportunity to share some of my insights from such a rich gospel story. One that has story within story, and one which teaches about us as individuals and about community and about the nature of our Lord and Savior. At All Saints in Cochrane, we have a clergy group that gathers on Zoom each week to discuss the Sunday readings. One of the things that came up with this gospel story from Mark was the whole thing about interruption. I would say most of us really dislike being interrupted. For example, I have a busy day planned with important things to do, and something comes up that completely derails it. And I can remember as a mother with four young children being trying to get something done and being busy and hearing a rather whiny, "Mom," and I have to admit, rolling my eyes before I said yes. Interruptions. As a teacher, it was tough to be in the middle of a lesson, only to be interrupted by inattentive and chatting children. Now I hear teachers, especially those teaching on Zoom, get interrupted by kids doing other things on their devices. How about this one? You're telling a really good story and you're telling it from your point of view and someone interrupts to either correct you or tell it in a different way from their own twist, with their own twist. When I'm working on a sermon, I normally have my door closed so I can concentrate and not be interrupted or distracted by other things going on in my house. The gospel we hear today shows Jesus being interrupted several times, four times, I'd say. Being interrupted led me to think about another thing that can derail us, and that's not having our act together. Sometimes due to poor planning, but at other times, because of circumstances beyond us, it can feel that we just don't have it together. Our world is out of control, and we may be feeling desperate about that. Again, the gospel story we hear today mentions three people who don't have their act together. No matter what, the situation is beyond them, and they can't handle it on their own. And these two things, life interruptions, and life out of control, no matter what your status, got me to thinking about Christian community. The gospel story we hear today describes Christian community, where imperfect people of all nature come together with Jesus and his healing acts in the center of all that. All in all, it is a rich gospel indeed. And I'd like to look at the various elements of this story. First of all, Jesus experiences a day of interruptions. I wonder what his plans were when he got out of that boat. I wonder how long his day had been so far. As he gets out of the boat, he immediately is surrounded by a pressing crowd. And before he can get anywhere, a man, Jairus, demands his attention, telling him of his ill daughter and begging him to come to her. Jesus responds, is to go. With seemingly little discussion and a lack of fanfare, he simply goes, as though that was what he was meaning to do all day. On his way to see Jairus' daughter, he is interrupted by a touch on his robe. Now, he has a considerable task ahead of him, and Jairus is an important man, a leader of the synagogue. Jairus is in a desperate state for his daughter, whose death is imminent. Yet Jesus stops. Jesus allows this interruption. It doesn't matter to Jesus that the woman who has distracted him is way below the social scale of Jairus. First of all, she is a woman, and an unclean woman, probably incapable of having children at that. She is a poor woman, without even the meager status given to most women. Yet he stops and speaks to her, and she is healed. He doesn't worry that an unclean woman has touched him. Wouldn't that make him unclean? She is of utmost importance to him, as the discernment of her touch in response to it would indicate. He expresses his love and gives her dignity and stature by calling her daughter. And he speaks to her so others can hear. They hear the teacher call this outcast daughter. Jesus uses her healing as a teachable moment saying that it is her faith that has made her well, again, giving her more prominence in this story. He sends her off in peace. He has been interrupted, but he gives this situation his full attention, is as if this was what he had set out to do. Now, while he is still speaking to the unnamed woman, he's still in conversation with her, he's yet again interrupted. The child is dead. There is no point in troubling Jesus any further. But Jesus does not allow this interruption to stop him in his mission. Reassuring Jairus, he continues to the house. And then, for the fourth time, he is interrupted by the mourners who laugh at him for saying that the child is only weeping. Finally, he makes it to his destination, to a 12-year-old girl whom he awakens and who responds to his call by literally being raised up. If we think about it, Jesus' ministry on earth tended to be a series of interruptions. Or were they opportunities? Often Jesus' miracles and teaching happened when he was on the way from one place to another. He used these interruptions to heal, to teach, to evangelize. He was present to God's call on his life at all times, even when it didn't seem to be convenient. He was the Messiah for all, not just for those who had made an appointment. He was a Messiah for the in-between times. He is a Messiah for the in-between times. Jesus welcomes our interruptions. Jesus sees our interruptions as opportunities. As we live in our various in-between times, whether it is in between rectors or buildings or adapting to life-changing events, remember, Jesus is there walking along with us to whatever the unknown future may hold. The next element of the gospel I want to share is that of not seeming to have one's act together. This story tells of three very different people who shared a common theme. Their life was not in control, and they were unable to handle things on their own. Look at Jairus. He was a leader in the synagogue. He was an important person, a person whom people looked up to for direction and wisdom. He held a valued place in this particular Jewish community. But when his beloved daughter fell gravely ill, none of that mattered. Not his power, not his abilities, not his image. He was not above begging, in fact. He was desperate and terrified and could do nothing about it on his own. In his desperation, he humbled himself by making a public scene of begging, repeatedly, I might add. He did not send an emissary, but rather came himself. Somehow in his terror, he knew that Jesus and Jesus' touch was the answer. Contact with Jesus was what his daughter needed, and as it turns out, what he needed as well. Next, there is the woman who has been suffering hemorrhages for 12 years. She has had the humiliation of many physicians and has found herself reduced to poverty without any positive results. She has a condition that is messy and uncomfortable, makes her feel unwell and exhausted. And if that wasn't enough of a burden, it was a condition that would make her an outcast in her community. She was isolated in her misery. This condition completely controls her life, not the other way around. She is unspeakably vulnerable. Unlike Jairus, who strides in and makes a commotion, she is quiet, even furtive. But like Jairus, she too is desperate and somehow knows that what she needs is to be in contact with Jesus. She reaches out and touches him. Well, in her humility, she touches his robe. Now, I am sure most of us have always been astounded that Jesus felt her gentle and tentative touch in such a pressing crowd, and that her reaching out to touch him was all that was required. But as I read it this time, what I also found astounding is that when Jesus turns to her in her personal encounter with him, her whole story comes tumbling out. No longer secretive and embarrassed, she tells all. She confesses her pain, her embarrassing condition, her fear, and her grief. And Jesus heals her. Not her condition, her. He restores her. He gives her peace. And then finally, there is the young girl. She is completely dependent on others, and if they are incapable of providing what she needs, she will die. At 12, she is just on the cusp of womanhood with her whole life ahead of her. Interestingly, the woman who Jesus heals has been sick the same number of years that this child has lived. This time, rather than the girl reaching out to Jesus, Jesus reaches out to her and takes her by the hand. I can imagine him leaning over and gently calling her to get up. And miraculously, she hears his voice, feels his touch, and does indeed get up. She rises. She is healed. Balance in the household is restored. These are three very different people, and Jesus deals with each of them individually according to who they are and what they need. He meets them where they are. For all three of them, he is the answer to their inability to control their own lives. For each of them, their encounter with Jesus is one of healing and of bringing order back to the chaos. Order and dignity are signs of God's grace. Order and dignity are what a Jesus encounter produces, even in the midst of a noisy crowd or the sounds of weeping and wailing. Many of us, most of us, probably all of us, know what it is like to feel that things are out of control. No matter what, things aren't going the way we planned, events that we feel we can't bear happen anyway. Even with the best of intentions, we slip and mess up. We can bring our dysfunction and disorder, our dis-ease, to Jesus. Sometimes the most effective thing to do is to stop. Stop and have an encounter with him. Stop, reach out and touch, or stop and beg, or stop and allow Jesus to reach out and touch us. In the midst of the confusion or chaos, look to Jesus, who sees us as people worthy of dignity, and to God, who in the very creation of the world brought order out of chaos. The final element of this powerful gospel story is about community. As I look at these three characters, I wonder, who do I identify with? Perhaps different characters at different times. Each of these characters was extremely vulnerable. Each of us knows what it is to feel vulnerable. Each of these characters' lives are beyond their capability at this point. Each of us have had times in our lives when we have felt less than capable. Each of these characters are coping with a situation that has not been of their own making. Again, we can identify. Within every community, there are people who are vulnerable, suffering, and not at their best. Maybe we need to work at being communities where we don't have to have it all together. Communities of people who are there because they know how much they need Jesus. Sometimes we think that in order to attract people, church communities need to look slick and successful. But is that really true? Is that really honest? Now, one great way I heard church generally and the Eucharist specifically being described was this: one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Imperfect people gathered together, hands stretched out to the one who loves us. The one who intimately knows us and loves us with a love beyond all other. Whether a powerful person, a marginalized person with few, if any, rights, or a child totally dependent and powerless. We are all sons and daughters. We are loved at that intimate level. Admitting our vulnerability and need isn't always easy. As a community of faith, we can create a safe place where people can do just that. It can be a place where we can share what is most important, our hopes and fears, our sorrows and joys. It can be a place where we can accept God's infinite grace and constant acceptance. It is a place where life's interruptions are life itself, and Jesus meets us where we are. That is a vision of the kingdom of heaven, and that is what the church is meant to be. Amen.